that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith. Ephesians 3:16-17. This week's episode continues the series entitled 8 Points of Fellowship, spoken to the younger generation of saints in the Pacific Northwest on November 15, 2009. In this episode, Brother Ron Kangas shares the 5th and 6th points on being diligent and faithful in our work and the growth in life. A link to the full audio can be found in the episode notes.
And let me put as number 5, something as far as human life is concerned, for every one of us. This is a determining factor. No one can be useful to the Lord without this. And this matter is a law in God's creation and in God's way with fallen humankind. And that is, and this is point 5, we must work. And we must be diligent and faithful in our work. And we should bear the testimony on our job, or if you're a mom who has more than a job, that you work. Now, I had a particular upbringing, as did you. My father was one of 13 children. His father was killed in a mine accident when he was 4. He had to stop his formal education when he was 13 and take the way of a trade. My mother was one of 12 children. Her mother died when she was 17. She was a brilliant student, received a full scholarship to the University of Michigan. They're in this little town of a few hundred in the UP, the Upper Peninsula. It was during the Depression. She had to decline it, go to Detroit, and do menial work in a hospital. They were scarred by the Depression, even more than by World War II. And so I was not indulged. And I grew up not ashamed to work. Not ashamed. And one, maybe this is just ethical. The Lord will have to determine, and maybe you'll be able to sift it. There were a few things that I was quite definite with my children. One is, you will learn to work. You will not be a lazy person. And then the other thing is, you will be thankful. You will be thankful. That if we do not work, the Lord will not entrust some responsibility to us. In 1978, a number of middle-aged brothers in Anaheim, they became divisive, even rebellious, and left. There was the first big upheaval many of us endured. And one brother, with a very particular view, he was analyzing the situation, as were many of us, to learn from it. He said, you look at the case of every brother, every one of them had a problem with work. They didn't want to work. They couldn't keep a job. I remember being at lunch with one brother. He just said of himself, I'm a fellowshipper. That's what I do. He had no job at that time. He was living off of someone else's money given to him. And I thought, if you didn't have so much time to talk, you might have been preserved. When I inquired of Brother Lee in 1971 about serving full-time, he shared some principles with me, and among them was, to work is a law. And for me personally, I can't relate to the word career. I'm not legal. If you use the word career, I'll still fellowship with you. It's okay. We receive one another. I can't relate to it. To me, that is something worldly, where you want to be something outstanding in the world before man. But to have a profession, to have a trade, to have a skill, to advance yourself, is altogether noble, praiseworthy. And the example I'd like to use and have used before is Daniel. Daniel was selected even to go to Babylon because he was promising from a good family. Then he and his companions proved themselves to surpass the Babylonian boys in their learning. And he became what I would call a career, there's the word, civil servant. Even when the kingdom was given over to the Medo-Persians, the Persian king recognized his prowess, and he was very high up in civil service, almost next to the king, had tremendous administrative responsibility. This is no accident. This was part of his course. His course was to bridge the gulf during the 70 years and to pray for the restoration and to pray for the return. And he was older than I. He was still working. Then that evil law was passed through the enemy's henchmen. No one can pray for 30 days. Daniel kept on praying. The king tried to rescue him, but his power was not absolute. Nebuchadnezzar's power was not the Persians. This is now the silver portion. He is bound by law. He cannot transcend it. So this is what he said to Daniel. He called him Daniel, servant of the living God. Then he said, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. That was Daniel's testimony. I don't think he walked around pray-reading Jeremiah when he should have been carrying out his responsibilities. You don't function at that level under a rigorous administration if you can't perform, if you can't produce. You didn't become chief of staff of neurosurgery for nothing. They didn't give you that because you love the Lord. They gave it because you're a top surgeon and you're a noble person. But his testimony was, you're a servant of the living God. So we need to work. I encourage the young professionals or the tradespersons, advance. Get further education. You can get a higher degree. Earn more money. You can give more. We'll come to this point. We should be progressive humanly. We shouldn't stagnate. Always advancing, always learning. That's noble. But I would plead with you for this. Don't live a compartmentalized life. My wife, I owe her a lot, and I owe her this particular help. She needed to see a chiropractor. And I knew, she knew, this particular thing, this will respond to chiropractic. There was a brother who was a chiropractor. He had his own practice. And she went to him. And I said, he's very good, isn't he? Very good. And she said, yes. He's a very good chiropractor. But he's compartmentalized. He's a very good businessman. But you'd never know he's the son of God. He's compartmentalized. She's a very good professor. But what does the faith have to do with that? This is to section off chunks of your life. I know a situation. This is not about work, although it is this way with his work. It's about something else, but it illustrates the point. He is a leading one. He is spiritual only in the church meetings. Not at home. Not in his work. Even he may ridicule his wife if she wants to exercise her spirit in that context. We can live this way. You can train your conscience to function this way. Brother Lee was laboring with some brothers. I was not among them. I learned about the situation. They're caring for a certain matter. And Brother Lee pointed out, this brother's conscience operates in a different realm from the way our conscience operates. It's possible. This is not a theory. There are scores of us who live a compartmentalized life. But there was one brother. He's been with the Lord since 1984. Beloved brother Samuel Chang. Brother-in-law of Watchman Nee. He was an elder and a co-worker in the church in Los Angeles with three others. They were all much younger, and they were full-time co-workers. Brother Samuel fell to work, and he worked in a lab. He was trained as a chemist. And we know he worked to the Lord. He was a priest to the Lord. He was praying for us. And one day he testified, he had a certain amount of work allocated for that week. According to his superiors, this is your portion. This is what you need to accomplish this week. And he said, I finished it in 3 days. And during the other 2 days, the Lord made me clean up the lab. He worked as a janitor. Why do I remember that? I heard this 42 years ago. I say, that is a God man. That is someone not compartmentalized. They hire him to work as a chemist. He knows what he's doing. And he's excellent at his job. But the kingdom life within him puts him on another pace, even from his boss. Then when he's done, he's not prayer reading or reading ministry books in the lab. The Lord living in him says, you need to clean. You need to mop. This kind of thing is a pattern to me. This is someone not compartmentalized. This is someone who works diligently by the life of God within him. And to be balanced, I know many middle-aged professionals like this. Doctor brothers and sisters. Professor brothers and sisters. Engineer brothers and sisters. Lawyer brothers and sisters. There'll never be a job-dropping full-timer. But they are full-time intrinsically because they live to the Lord in their work. And they bear such a testimony that we've had to face situations in different parts of the earth. We dare not open the matter of full-time with certain ones. Because right away they'll put up their hand. Their concept is, I don't have to work, I'll be supported. And so you are the least qualified. What was Elisha doing before Elijah called him? Was he just, when I'm going to have to stop plowing the field, you know, I have the calling to be full-time. He's plowing with 6 yoke of oxen. He's really into plowing. Elijah comes and says, I'm calling you. Elisha says, okay. He kills the oxen. He offers them as a burnt offering. And then he goes to be Elijah's attendant. What was Peter doing? Fishing. What was John doing? Mending. What was Matthew doing? But he was collecting taxes. He was on the job. You can't show me a case where an idle person, a non-productive person, a lazy person, a work-loathing person, who is just called to bear responsibility, such a person cannot. He'll be lazy, laid back, and non-productive in the Lord's work. It is a great testimony to eat Jesus before you go to work or on your way to work and then live him while you're doing your job or pursuing your profession. That in 1977, when we were visiting Taiwan, some of us had dinner in the home of the brother who was the equivalent of the FBI director in the United States. And he prayed very much before taking that job. And he had to invest not his whole life, but to invest his working life, his best years as an upper middle-aged person. And he did that in the Lord. And to the Lord. So I would never discourage the younger brothers and sisters from developing their God-given aptitude. And I value the tradesmen and other kind of workers every bit as much as the intellectuals and the professionals. There'll be a time when you will treasure a good auto mechanic, a very good plumber, an excellent electrician. You'll be very thankful for that. And the pride that might have been put in you about professionals will be dismantled. And you'll respect any hardworking brother and sister as a dignified God-man. Now, point 6. We're back on the apparent, well, we're back on the spiritual line, is the growth in life. And you need to realize 2 things here. And the first thing is a general observation. It's up to the Lord's Spirit to indicate to you if this applies to you particularly. But now more and more, I share with the fourth term trainees, especially the sisters, but the brothers are more or less catching up to them by the time they're in their fourth term. Now you ask the sisters, they look at the first term brothers, they see them as big boys. They're big boys. They're not quite men. But after the 2 years, they're developing humanly, spiritually, and they're more or less equal. But I tell the seeking sisters, you need to know where you are in the experience and growth in life. You are entering into the third stage, the stage of the cross, of dealing with the flesh, the self, and the natural constitution. If you're religiously humble, and I were to ask you, what stage are you at? You would say, well, I'm dealing with the world. You're not dealing with the world. You dealt with the world. And you're vigilant. Or I'm dealing with sin. That is not the cutting edge of your growth. You always clear sins, but that is not the cutting edge of your growth. You may say, well, I'm dealing with the conscience. Well, you may be correct. And this is now your peril. Will you deal with the conscience like a disciple of Confucius or an Eagle Scout and end up straining gnats and swallowing camels? Or will you learn to deal with your conscience according to the divine life as a God-man? Then the Lord will take you into the next stage. And in this stage, almost everyone in my generation got stuck. Many died stuck in this stage. I do know whereof I speak. They never came to know the body because they did not have a thorough experiential dealing with the flesh, the self, and the natural life. And so the life of the body in them did not develop, but they're not worldly. They're not sinful. They deal with their conscience. They come to the conferences and trainings. Only they're not growing. I don't condemn them. I don't give up on them. Who am I? But I see the situation and I'm burdened about it constantly. You do not want to advance into middle age as someone not growing. Only God can cause growth. No co-worker, no elder can cause growth. You cannot cause growth. Worrying about it will not cause growth. Being nervous, being anxious will not cause growth. Pray reading all night long will not cause growth. Probably would be better if you just went to sleep and let the Lord operate in you. But there needs to be this aspiration to grow to maturity. And from time to time, the prayer, Lord, cause me to grow. Keep me on the path of the growth in life. I look to you, Lord. Don't let me stop in spiritual adolescence. Let me grow to some degree of maturity. So while all the other things are going on, you need to learn how to give ground to the Lord in your being, to pray the prayer of Ephesians 3, to open your heart to the Lord, to turn your heart to the Lord, to give Him a thoroughfare into all of your being. You enjoy the Lord, and you pray like this, I guarantee you, the Lord will do it. He's very, very good at this. Only God can cause growth. He may eventually check your motive. Why do you want to grow? Well, I want to grow so I can be an overcomer. Well, that's good. I want you to be an overcomer. What about the body of Christ? Are you willing to have your motive purified? That you will grow for the church, grow for the body, that you will grow for my sake, that I can have the bride and I can have the army. And the Lord will purify you by His shepherding, and you'll say, Lord Jesus, cause me to grow for the body of Christ. When this new year begins, 2010, it may not be bad to have some quiet moments with the Lord, maybe on the 31st, or whenever you have opportunity, and say, Lord, I give you this coming year. I pray that at the end of 2010, there will be a real increase of you in my being for the sake of the church. I pray that every day this next coming year, that you will gain ground in me, that you will grow in me.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear the complete recording and other messages, please visit livingtohim.com. If you would like to receive regular updates from us, please subscribe to this podcast and join our mailing list on our website. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where our handle is @livingtohim.